You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST. And right here for the Locked On LSU podcast, we'll hear from Ryan Clark. I'll give you an LSU Central Michigan prediction. But first, Ed Ogeron met with the media Thursday night, his last media availability before the Tigers and Chippewas. Seems to like the mindset of his team.
Tremendous week of practice. Thought our guys were really focused in on the task at hand and getting better. And some of the things that we identified on Monday that we didn't do well in the game, the coaches did a great job of motivating our team this week. We had a very spirited practice all week. We're getting a lot of our guys back, ready to go.
Speaking of getting guys back, one of those is senior starting right tackle Austin Deculus, who was questionable, but looks like he's going to go.
So we're going to have Austin Deculus. We're going to have Chase Einheim. We have our starting offensive line minus Cam Ware. So that's the first time we've had those guys for a while, and we're very pleased with it.
Now, Ogeron was also asked about the running backs who were going to run behind that offensive line, and he gave an update on Armani Goodwin and what he wants to see there.
Well, Armani Goodwin's not going to play this week. Hopefully, he's going to play at Mississippi State. Dwight McLaughlin is almost back. He's questionable for this game. Maybe he can play. It'd be nice to see him play, get some reps. Xavier Hill has to get better. He's going to play at tackle. He's going to get a lot of reps. I want to see Corey Conner get more reps. I think he's going to be an outstanding back. But we got to go guns a-blazing. We're going with our first team to win the football game, and that's our mindset.
And maybe one of the biggest differences that LSU fans or anyone watching the game will notice is that LSU is going to go, apparently, much faster on offense this week.
I think we made some improvement in it, and you're going to see it this week. You're going to see it at opportune times. It's going to be part of our package, and we're going to use it more. And that is just not for this week. But as we grow in it, we're going to do it more. So you're going to see it some this week, and I think we're going to be ready for it. I don't know what part of the game you're going to see it, and then we're going to expound on it as the season goes on.
And one more from Ed Ogeron, talking a little bit about Jim McElwain, because, of course, some of the anxiety that LSU fans might have this week, and certainly what LSU coaches have to work against, is that Jim McElwain is a very good offensive coach. And just like Chip Kelly was able to scheme in the running and passing game to get UCLA's offense going against the LSU defense and keep LSU guessing, so too will Jim McElwain attempt that. And Ogeron was asked about the similarities between the two.
Very similar. And I know he's going to see that stuff on film, and he's going to see if we fix it. So we've been practicing. And there's a lot of shifts and formations. He's an experienced coach. He knows how to get in difficult formations that will make you maybe get out of your gap and make explosive plays available. We need to be very sound on what we're doing.
And Ogeron had one more on the Central Michigan running game.
Number one, different formations, a lot of motions and shifts. That was gave us problems in the first game. We have to make sure that we have that solidified. We have to know one gap defense. The motions and shifts cause maybe some confusion in what gap you may have. We got to make sure that we covered that. We worked very hard this week on doing that. And then when we do have the gap, we got to make a tackle and knock them back. These guys have made, the running backs, Lou Nichols have made most guys miss the first tackle. His yards after contact are phenomenal. The offensive line does a good job. It's a zone, a gap scheme, and a formation. So we're going to get it all. We know we're going to get everything that we've seen that hurt us. We prepared for it.
Tigers and Chippewas Saturday, 6:30 p.m. from Death Valley. We'll talk with Ryan Clark coming up here shortly. Got to remind you about Built Bar and BuiltBar.com. Best tasting protein bar in the world is Built Bar. Online, BuiltBar.com. Use the code LOCKED15 to save 15% off your order. As a matter of fact, same story as yesterday. Had a Built Bar for breakfast. Was running out the house. Didn't have time to make breakfast, so I grabbed a Built Bar and had that with my coffee. BuiltBar.com. It is high protein, high fiber, low calorie, low sugar, gluten-free, perfect for your keto diet. It's the great tasting protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, but is actually good for you. It's Built Bar. Order yours today at BuiltBar.com. Use the code LOCKED15 to save 15% off your order. Always appreciate when we get a few minutes with Ryan Clark. And we talked about defense and offense, but started by asking RC about the defense and how they performed against McNeese.
To me, what they did against McNeese wasn't going to matter.
Yeah.
And this is no disrespect to McNeese and what Frank has going on there, but if McNeese was able to recruit at the rate LSU could, then McNeese would be LSU.
Mm-hmm.
And so What you do like, though, is that the defense basically dominated, though. You know, from a yardage standpoint, from a big play standpoint, when you go out against a team and you have better athletes, better players, I think you should play that way. It still wasn't one of those performances, though, where you walk away and it says, okay, this team is, you know, on the same level of the Alabamas. This team is on the same level of the Georgias. And so there's definitely still some improvement that needs to be done, but you're happy that Coach Durante and the defensive staff was able to get them prepared, have them in a situation where they're communicating right, where alignment and assignment are working the way it's supposed to work, and you beat a team, at least defensively, the way that you're supposed to.
RC, no Jay Ward last week and no Jay Ward again this week. How much does that impact the secondary?
I think it's huge. Yeah. I think it's huge. He's kind of the linchpin in that secondary. You know, he's the guy that has played a ton of football, that now plays safety. A dude that, from a physicality standpoint, limb standpoint, understanding of football standpoint, is the best player that's in that defensive back room at the safety position. So I believe that it's huge. Also believe that it's huge that he's not getting a ton of reps at it, because, you know, from what I'm reading, he'll be out again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he's not getting a ton of reps at it, because we have to remember, with all of the things that he has that says he should be good at the position and this should be a good year for him, he still never played it in college. He still never started at that position in college. And so all right he has right now is the snaps that he had against UCLA. And so to me, this is a big deal. This is huge. From the standpoint of, I think defense is better if he plays, but I also think he needs to be improving at the position at this point, gaining a larger understanding for the position at this point for when the real football starts, which is the SEC.
RC, are they okay this week with Cam Lewis, Jordan Toles playing safety against Central Michigan?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
Obviously, I think you're playing a team that's better than McNeese. But I believe in the good thing about Cam is, you know, he's very much like John Battle was. Cam's like 47 now.
And, I was waiting on it.
You know, and being that I almost had to pass him my number when he entered school in 01. No, I'm just playing. You know, I think they're fine. I think they're fine this week. I still believe, you know, they're the better team, and they should be the better team. And so defensively, I think this team will be, you know, A-okay with Cam Lewis playing. I think, much like we talked coming into the season, though, if we were judging LSU, if you were judging Coach O based on the fact that they could beat McNeese or Central Michigan,
mm-hmm.
then it would be a different thing. But that's not how we're judging them. We're judging them, can you compete within the SEC West to be a contender? Can you beat the Alabamas of the world? And I don't think you can do that with the Cam Lewises and the Jordan Toles.
All right, so let's flip it over to the offensive side. What about that offensive line? How do we make sense of how they've performed so far this year?
They're not very good. I mean, I can make sense for it. Were you mad? This is my expert opinion.
Right.
LSU is not very good on offense. You know, I think the one thing you definitely look at from this team is the lack of the big play. Whether it be the big run play or the big pass play, other than Kayshon Boutte being able to catch footballs and break tackles and, you know, have yards after the catch, especially against UCLA, we don't have a big play offense in any manner.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Max maybe averaged, you know, 6 yards a completion. And when you're playing against a team like McNeese, and again, I keep wanting to say no disrespect to these young men. You know, some of them I know personally, and they're good football players. But when you're playing LSU and you have an opportunity against a team like this, this is when you should be able to produce the big play. They couldn't do that. You still give up sacks to the McNeese D-line. You're not able to generate a run game of really any substance. You know, you end up getting a big run late, you know, for a touchdown by a freshman. And so I think there's just so much that when you look at this offense, that is desired. Now, if we can look at this game in the vacuum and say, okay, did we produce enough to win the football game? You say yes, right? But have you found a way to develop a passing game or a deep passing game where you feel like you have two or three or four viable options down the field? I don't think we figured that out yet. I think Trey Palmer has represented himself well in the slot. Obviously, we know what Tayshaun is, but where's the next guy? Where's the guy that's going to push the football down the football field? And is that a problem with us not being able to protect long enough, Max not being able to have the type of time that he needs, or not having the ability to complete those passes? Then you look at, Grant, Garrett, Nussmeier, mm-hmm. He got his opportunity to play. And, he got to play. I think he had, 10 attempts, but even him, he's 30% on those attempts, can't produce over 20 yards. And so when you're looking at this offense, you have to wonder, is it what Coach Pete and his offensive staff is calling? Is it what they're working on schematically throughout the week? But whatever it is, they have to find a way for this offensive line to be tied in better together, but also to be able to create huge chunk football plays. Because, in the SEC, it's very difficult to go 5 and 6 and 10 yards and continue to do that series after series without making mistakes.
Ryan Clark's with us on Twitter at RealRClark25. Garrett did provide some energy. I guess the backup typically does that. How do you feel about maybe how they manage that position this week and going forward?
Well, I think you do the right thing by getting him real playing time. Not necessarily saying, okay, you're the garbage guy, you're going to mop up at the end of the football game. And I think, the backup quarterback is usually everybody's favorite player, unless you're a starting quarterback, right? Joe Burrow. And when he plays, he does bring excitement. And the one thing he should bring is excitement. I think he's a little bit more athletic. He's a kid who's willing to, try to improv a little bit. So that type of energy, that type of youthful exuberance, I say youthful exuberance, like everybody on that team isn't a baby other than Cam Lewis.
Right.
But, that youthful exuberance, it does invigorate a stadium or an offense or the rest of the players. But there also has to be production in that. There also has to be success in that. And that's the next steps that Garrett needs to take. But I believe that he's going to play moving forward and not necessarily just when it's mop-up time. But what he's going to have to show is that he's constantly improving. I think many people, and I've always said it's how it's supposed to look with Max, at least it was last year. I think many people in that building believe that the ceiling is higher for Garrett Nussmeier than it is for Max Johnson. And so maybe finding certain packages and certain groups of plays that allows Garrett to show that is what's going to be on Coach Pete's moving forward.
RC, if there is one, there's some positives that came out of this last week. Like Cade York's still a stud kicker. You mentioned Kayshon Boutte, who's awesome. Jack Besh has kind of been a little bit of a mismatch for these teams early as well, as he's been able to get open. You played safety, and obviously that responsibility falls on safeties and linebackers when you got a guy like Besh coming out, flexing out. So what is it about Besh that's allowed him to have such early success at that position?
One, what's the word I'm looking for here? You can tell he's extremely skilled at route running. A-plus hands. And he was the same at St. Thomas More. Mm-hmm. And he's the kid that's actually used to playing outside. And so now you give him the opportunity to match up against linebackers and safeties. There's sometimes they're a mismatch in athleticism. You're talking about a big, strong kid that comes from a football family. I mean, if you know football and you've been around this area for the last few decades, you know who the Besh family is. So I played with a Besh. There's Besh that's coaching, that's been coaching football in the NFL forever. And so, this is a football family. And so now you look at him, he's tough, he's strong, he's faster than you think for the position, is what I'm saying. Like if you're coming into the game and you don't really necessarily understand that this big kid was once an outside wide receiver. This kid's used to running fade ball. This kid's used to running post corners, post, right high, pointing the football. And now you're putting him in situations against guys who are lesser from an athleticism standpoint. He's going to make those plays. And obviously, like I said earlier, great hands. I think Kayshon Boutte made the statement throughout the week that if you throw him 10 footballs, he's going to catch 10 of them. Mm-hmm. And I think, to me, that's the greatest compliment you can give a receiver or a tight end. That's how we felt about Heath Miller the entire time he was in Pittsburgh. If Heath Miller would drop a football in practice, we'd look forward to lightning, thunder, and rain, or we just want to cancel practice because we just knew it wasn't our day. Mm-hmm. I think that's how people around that building and on that team are feeling about Jack Besh, which is huge because I know coming into the season, once he did commit, I was wondering how are they going to play him? How are you going to use him in what was a stacked wide receiver room in a stacked class of wide receivers? And when you think about these young kids, to me, he's the one dude that actually has a spot that we understand how important it is, how it'll be utilized, and the fact that it'll be a positive or a plus for LSU offensively.
RC, one more. I don't like the season's 2 games old, and teams improve. I mean, I know I've said this several times this week, RC. Back in 2017, man, when LSU got blown out by Mississippi State and lost to Troy, nobody thought they were going anywhere. And they ended up 6-2. The only game in the league, the only game they lost the rest of the way was Alabama. So you see the pieces that are there. You also know the schedule that's ahead. Like, what's realistic for this team as far as the level of improvement the rest of the way?
I think this team can really improve. And the reason you think they can improve is because they've in no way played up to their potential. They've in no way played up to their talent level or at the level of their talent. So this team can certainly improve. I think this team can also still continue to improve and hustle and effort. And I think what you'll see in McNeese is an opportunity to gain confidence. And now you want to carry that over to Central Michigan. And so that's the goal. And so you think about this team, the one game, you know, I'll point to obviously and be like, don't know about that. It's Alabama, sure. Because I do know about that. I would pick Alabama to win. But this is a team who could finish the season with 3 losses. And I think if this team finishes the season with 3 losses, that's a success. Now, they're going to have to improve in order to do that, though. But that is in no way out of the realm of possibility.
So you think they can go 6-2 in conference?
I do. I think they can. Like, we're saying what they can do.
With can. Yeah, absolutely.
What they will do. You know, but I certainly do, just from the standpoint of, now we have to get better O-line play. We have to get better quarterback play as well. But from the standpoint of what I've seen Max do under duress, right? What I've seen Max do when put in a bad situation before. You know, I watched this kid play at Florida and go, oh, holy hell, like he has it. And what I meant by it wasn't this tremendous amount of talent. It was this ability to be poised under pressure, but we didn't really see that at UCLA when things got hot.
Isn't that the isn't that the perplexing thing though, RC? Like, that's for me the hardest thing. It's like, I agree with you. That's why watching him throw the no look thing behind his back and the intercept, it surprised me because I just didn't expect that from him.
Yeah, but I think that also shows you that it can be done. And that he can handle it, and that he can do it, and I think you hang on to that because that's the first time we saw him. It's very rare that kids or players or people are the best we've ever seen them the first time. Usually with experience, usually with opportunity, they continue to get better, and so that's what we're waiting on with Max, for everything to gel with this team to where he plays at the top level of his ability. Because if he does that, this team can. We go 6-2 in conference. And if they go 6-2 in conference, you have to count that as a win for LSU.
He is Ryan Clark. We will give you an LSU Central Michigan pick here in just a quick second. But remember, betonline.ag back better than ever. All eyes on the gridiron as teams are back to start this football season. BetOnline, your number one spot for all the pro and college football action. Matter of fact, last night had some Thursday night football, had the Washington football team lay in the 3.5. I was a loser, but I was a winner because I got to play at betonline.ag. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. It's always more fun with a little action on the game, and the best place to place all of your sports action and wagers is at betonline.ag. Use the code LOCKEDON and get a 50% welcome bonus. Again, use the code LOCKEDON and get a 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. As we put a button here on a Football Friday edition of the Locked On LSU podcast, one thing left to do is just give you a pick for LSU and Central Michigan. And I think the Tigers are going to win this game. I do think that LSU defensively is going to have some struggles because of the things Jim McElwain does exceptionally well as a play caller. And I do think that that will expose some of LSU's weaknesses on defense, in particular what we saw against UCLA. Linebackers and safeties in the coverage portion, and with LSU not having Jay Ward at safety, I think that certainly hinders LSU and is going to allow Central Michigan to make plays in the pass game. Keep an eye on LSU's defensive front, though. As Central Michigan did allow 9 sacks and 14 tackles for loss against Missouri. This should be an opportunity where LSU could control the line of scrimmage, hence control the game. The big concern, of course, on the other side is LSU's offensive line. The concern that it's been for each of the first 2 games. Last week, Central Michigan pitched a shutout against Robert Morris, albeit Robert Morris, and they went down to Columbia, Missouri, and played a pretty tight ball game with the Missouri Tigers. So can LSU find some rhythm offensively? If they can, I think LSU wins easy. I'm going to say that Central Michigan still finds a way to put points on the board, and this ends up a 31-21 ball game. Tigers win. I don't think they cover. Give me LSU 31-21 over Central Michigan in Tiger Stadium. You know, we'll be back Monday to talk about it all right here on the Locked On LSU podcast. Your team every day.